Hi, my name is Allison Mead. Welcome to LA FBI's podcast series. The Los Angeles Females Playwrights Initiative is dedicated to encouraging and promoting the work of female playwrights, and today I'm going to be speaking with Teresa Chavez and Rose Portillo, whose multimedia theatrical event, Evangeline, the Queen of Make-Believe, is currently playing at the Bootleg Theater in Los Angeles. Teresa Chavez is an award-winning director, producer, and playwright whose work has been seen at the Public Theater in New York, the Hogg Auditorium in Austin, the National Museum of Art in Chicago, and the Getty Center and Mark Taper Forum in Los Angeles, among others. Rose Portillo is also an accomplished actor, writer, director, educator, and visual artist whose work has appeared in Los Angeles, on Broadway, and at the Mixed Blood Theater in Minneapolis, among others. So welcome, Teresa and Rose.
It's an honor to be with you.
Excellent. Well, as I mentioned in the introduction, Evangeline isn't quite a play or a musical, but something in between. So how did the project come together at the start?
Well, we were approached by Luis Perez of Los Lobos, who's kind of a Renaissance man in the sense that he has multiple interests and multiple talents, and he was interested in getting into a situation where he could truly collaborate on a project that had theatrical roots. And he was aware of the kind of work that we had done previously, a lot of collaborative work and working with live music and singer-songwriters who don't normally work in theater and that kind of thing. So he began talking to Rose, and then I got involved in the conversation about what could this project be. And we started sharing stories about growing up in L.A., about the 60s, and East L.A. in particular, which is where Louie's from. I was raised in Monterey Park, just outside of East L.A.
Right, and I'm a Silver Lake baby.
Ah, okay.
And it evolved into this idea that we would focus on the 60s about a young sort of coming-of-age story, a young woman who is just out of high school. And then we discovered there was a song in the Los Lobos songbook called Evangeline, and in the lyric it says Evangeline, the Queen of Make-Believe, and thus we got our title and started to be inspired by the song and, of course, the rest of the Lobos songbook as well as our own storytelling.
Yeah, and I think in our conversations also we were, you know, just very aware of what was shaping us in our youth as we were coming of age and what was shaping us and sort of formed us as artists as well. So it just became the bed for us to jump off into and off of.
Excellent.
Figuratively speaking.
We wanted to make our own bed and lay in.
There you go.
Just keep extending that metaphor. I like it. Excellent. Well, how do you feel the songs fit into the experience of the, I'm going to just call it a play, because it's a play, but it's also an experience. It's kind of somewhere, a hybrid experience.
Yeah, thank you for describing it that way. And I think, you know, as we watch it, I think Teresa and I, as we have a long history, 20-year history of collaborating, we really use our instincts and our intuition and are just open to once we know what the piece is, rather the direction we're going in, what does the piece want? You know, how is it? It's a back and forth conversation with the art itself. And as we're watching it, you know, we want it to thread itself, to feel seamless. So while we spent all this time creating the narrative and knowing what we wanted for Evangeline, the character, and what we want to depict of Los Angeles, the songs start to emerge. And what's happening now, happily, is that the songs are sort of it's like the scenes come out of the songs and the songs come out of the scenes. And that's the goal.
And there is a single voice for the songs, which is Kava, this wonderful, beautiful vocalist who is our narrator slash storyteller. Her name in the show is called, she's called The Neighborhood. And she is in the present day, and she is singing about this story. She's singing about the characters, what they're feeling. She's often saying things that they aren't necessarily expressing. And that's what Rose is also referring to, is that the songs themselves are coming out of the scenes and vice versa, but and the singer is coming out of the scenes and vice versa. She's being influenced by the things she's seeing happen to these characters. And she's also initiating.
Right. She's mythic. She's a mythic character.
I see. And so was new musical material written for this work, or did you take existing songs?
It's all existing, yeah.
Oh, okay.
From the 40-year songbook of David Hidalgo and Luis Perez of Los Lobos.
Incredible.
And so that was one of the most difficult tasks that we had, among other things, was over the course of the past 3 years as we've been developing this, because their songbook is huge. It's 150 to 200 songs.
Wow.
So what songs could be chosen that would feel as if they were written for this new play with music, this new multimedia work with music. What would work? What would resonate in a very true way? Because it's not a jukebox musical at all.
Right.
It's not trying to cover even a certain kind of songwriting or style or you know, the total songbook. The songs are very, very, very carefully chosen.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've also used some recordings of the Latin Playboys music, which is a side project of David and Louise, an experimental side project of David and Louise.
Okay.
And we've woven some of that music, which tends to be, well, we've used it instrumentally. We've taken the vocal out of the songs and use just these beautiful instrumental, experimental beds of sound and music for segues. And then there's also period music in the show. Period, literal, you know, period music from, recorded music from the late 60s. The show was set in 1968 specifically.
Right.
So we've been very specific about that.
That was my next question. I was wondering what attracted you to that time period.
Well, it's so pivotal. Nationally as well as L.A. specifically. It's when the student walkouts happened in East L.A. It's when the very term Chicano was just grabbing hold and becoming a movement. And so the East Side was having its own coming-of-age moment. And then on the West Side, you know, the art scene was L.A. was finally on the map and being recognized for the artists that it was producing, as well as the music scene.
Yeah, the Sunset Strip music scene was, it had already begun before 68, but it was in an incredible type of Renaissance period where it went from sort of, the area went from an old school kind of rat packy type of atmosphere to the atmosphere that we kind of accept as the atmosphere we to some extent still have today, which is more of a rock and roll atmosphere. But at that time it was burgeoning, and you had all kinds of bands and singers, songwriters, et cetera, who are extremely well known that played there. From, you know, James Brown and Wilson Pickett to Buffalo Springfield, Crosby, Stills and Nash, the Rolling Stones, on and on and on. The Doors, of course, Jimi Hendrix. The list goes on and on and on. And the club scene there was incredibly vital and internationally prominent. So this young woman, Evangeline, is exploring that world. She's already been initiated in a sense into the music by just purely listening to the amazing radio of Los Angeles of the period.
Right.
And she's influenced and she's inspired and she's very curious about what is going on over there on the other side of town.
Yeah,
and
she wants to be in it, you know.
It also seems like she needs to individuate from her family and kind of form her own identity. So I
exactly.
wonder how you saw how it became more important as the play progresses.
I'm sorry, say that again.
I just wondered how you saw that that process became more important as the play progresses.
Well, I think that that's, you know, it's a moving force in the piece, that she has her starting point, and, you know, as we all do, there's a point where we want to know what it's like outside of the boundaries that have been given to us, you know. So in order to take control of her own life, to find her own voice, she has to step outside the boundary.
So I wondered also what was next. Evangeline is going to have a run of a couple of weeks here in Los Angeles, but what's next for you guys?
Well, we're going to take this premiere version, and it's going to be turned into a touring version in which David Hidalgo and Louis Pérez will actually perform.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and so it'll go into a different form. The story will be the same. Probably the music will be the same, if very similar, if not the same. The video design will be reconstituted, and then we'll rethink, how do we tell this story in this other format?
Right.
And that's going to be a big challenge.
Because here right now, we do have quite an amazing set, mm-hmm. and it's own work of art, but it's a big thing that can't travel.
it'll help us reimagine. Yeah, it could if we had regional theaters or
exactly.
theaters such as that who wanted to take the whole production and run it in a run. But a tour would be much more like one or two shows in various cities,
right.
you know, moving around the country in a fairly efficient manner.
Okay. Well, it sounds good. Thank you so much for spending time with me today. I know your time
thank
is
you.
Very valuable as you open.
Thank
so
you.
Thank you.
We appreciate your interest and your support.
Of course. Well, Evangeline runs at the Bootlegs Theater in Los Angeles from May 3rd through the 27th, and with performances Thursday through Saturday. It's directed by Teresa Chavez and Rose Portillo, as well as written. And for more information about tickets, please visit www.bootlegtheater.org or call the box office at 213-389-3856. For more information about LAFPI's resources, activities, and opportunities, please visit www.lafpi.com.